1 Timothy, as we approach this subject, we have hit several basics of the Christian life in this Walking with God series, and they've been sparsed out. We've taught on things like church, why it's important. We've taught on the Bible. We've taught on the Holy Spirit. This is another subject that's called basics in the Christian life. When I was on the rifle team in the Marine Corps, and we ate, drunk, sleep, sneezed, burped, hiccuped, shooting. And how could you be the best shooter? And what you learn, shooting, Christianity, it's a lot the same. It's not the guy with all the high-tech gear. The best shooter is the one that applies the basics over and over again. And you know what the best Christian is? It's not the one that knows the deeper truths that nobody else knows. The best Christian is the one who keeps applying the basics, and they never lose track of the basics. This is one of those. The subject of tithing and understanding, I just spoke with somebody 2 weeks ago. They have no clue. They've been in church for 30 years. They have no clue. They've been to our church for a year. They say, I hear you teach on tithing. I've just been in church my whole life, and I don't tithe. I said, look, you know what's wonderful as a pastor? It's wonderful to tell everybody, you don't tithe because we need your money. And I told that person, I said, if you don't want to tithe, that's up to you. That's your choice. That's not my choice. I said, I'm not trying to run your finances or your home or anything. I want you tithing for God's blessing on your life, but the church was doing fine before I got here, and it was doing fine before you got here. And you know what? It'll do fine after you leave. Amen? In other words, you can approach giving like, oh, please give because we've got to have the money. We don't. It's God's church. Amen? Yes, the work goes forward more. I love this statement. More people will die and go to hell because people in the church don't tithe because the church cannot reach who it needs to reach. Amen? Look, we can only print tracts as we can afford them. We paid for 5 years' worth of tracts for $3,400. You say, well, what happens if you don't have... I know a lot of churches, they don't have tracts like we do. They don't have the money to. They gather tracts and stuff like that from elsewhere, and they'll get, like, donations, and their tracts are... That's fine. I'm just letting you know, do you know why we get to do what we do? Because of the giving of our church. Amen? More people will die and go to hell because God's people don't tithe than any... Then let's take another sin. More people will die and go to hell because God's people don't tithe than those who smoke. Smoking does not send as many people to hell as God's people not giving to God's work so God's work can go forward. I can take any other sin. When it comes to this subject of tithing, you say, I've heard this my whole life. If somebody could come to our church and be in church in this area their whole life and they not have a clue, that lets me know, you know what, this is a basic you need to keep applying in your life. Second of all, before we get going on this, you say, oh, I already know about this. Preacher, you taught about, I teach on it once a year. I teach on it once a year. And somebody said, well, and I know some pastors, they don't touch it. You can't find tithing sermons all over the internet. You can find stupid stuff, but you can't find tithing sermons all over the internet. Do you know why? The average pastor won't teach on it because they don't want to be titled a money-hungry preacher. Can I show you something in your Bible? 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are pastoral epistles. If you want to know what God requires of me as a pastor to do in this church, read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. That's what I'm required to do. Now, I have things that people expect of me that are not in the Bible. That's fine. But if you want to know, if we want God's blessing on our church, God says, in my church, to my people, from my word, you teach these topics to the people. And if you do that, you're a faithful man of God. And if you don't, you're in it for the wrong reasons, and you're out to make a name for yourself, and you're all image-based. And God says, I won't bless that. So when I read 1 Timothy, look what God tells me to teach you. Okay? You're in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse number 9. Watch this. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men or destroy them in destruction and perdition. The key word in there to understand that God does not say if you're rich or wealthy that you automatically will fall into temptations and snares and be destroyed. The key word is will. God tells the pastor, you teach the people of the church, they that will be rich. What's the word will? If you will something, I want it at all costs. Those who desire to be rich above everything else, let them know, greed cannot prosper your life. How many times we heard on the internet stories, guy says, I'm going to be a millionaire before I'm 30. You can be. And you watch every time it happens, they lose their family, they lose their kids. Great. You got $1 million and you lost everything else. You can be a millionaire before you're 30. Yeah, it takes about 10 years, do it on the business, investing and stuff like, you're right, you can. But God says, you tell the people in the church, if they will or if they desire to be rich above everything else, you tell them they're headed for a world of hurt. Right? That's the verse. That's verse 9 there. There is nothing sinful about being wealthy. Look, I love this statement because this answers it. It's not wrong for you to have money. It's wrong for money to have you and control you. The only thing that's supposed to be controlling you is the Holy Ghost of God, the one that's God that saved you and owned you and bought you. He wants to control you, but money is not supposed to be calling the shots. We'll see this morning, the Bible plainly says, labor not to be rich. My focus is not supposed to. Money does answer all things. It says that in Ecclesiastes. The old statement, money makes the world go round. Yeah, okay, you got to have it to live, but it's not supposed to control you. Now that's verse number 9. Look at verse number 10. Watch this. For the love of money is the root of all evil. I wish people would quote that. Money is not the root of all evil. How many people have you heard say that? Well, money is not the root of all evil. Loving it is. Do you know how come liquor is legal? Because there's a lot of money involved in it. There's billions involved. Do you know how come the drug trafficking? Look, if they got satellites that can see you in your backyard, you're telling me, so they can watch everything that's going on and they can't stop the drug trafficking? Are you kidding me? No, do you know why it's not stopped? Because there's too much money involved in it. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of evil. Loving it. When we were in Tennessee, the mayor of our town, I went soul winning. The guy selling the drugs on the street, that's pocket change. The guy's bringing it into the city, I promise you, it's coming in through the legislature of the city. The name we found all the time was the judges and the mayors and the chancellors. They're at the top of it, and they're the guys selling it on the street, they're the little guys. They're the collateral damage. They're the guys that can get shot by the police and nobody cares. But the guys that are bringing it in by the shiploads, those are your upper echelon. And as a pastor, I'm out on the street. Yeah, there's names I hear all the time. Would you like to know how big the drug deaths in our town is? I'm talking St. Mary's County. It's huge. And they can't stop it? No, they don't want to stop it. There's too much money involved. Here we go. Keep on going. Love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, he's telling the pastor, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Then look over at verse 17. Look what else I'm told to teach. Charge them that are rich in this world. If you have money, God says you teach those people how to properly handle their money. Well, they might think I'm after their money. God says if you teach it properly, I love what one pastor said. I'm not a money-hungry pastor, but if I don't teach you about money, God can't bless your finances. Right? So then I have to deal with a people whose money and area in their finances are cursed. And they're always struggling because the pastor doesn't teach on money and how to get God's blessing. So now the people struggle. And whatever I don't teach on from the Bible, the people struggle with. They struggle. Keep on going. Teach them that are rich. Charge them. Nor trust that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. willing to communicate. Notice verse 19. I wish you'd mark it in your Bible. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Well, you can't buy your way to heaven. We all know that. But God says, teach the people. Everybody in the church ought to know. Whatever you give, verse 19, whatever you give in church. And, you know, we can talk about money because it's the easiest thing. But there's more. You give more than money. There's the three T's, and I hope this helps you remember. There's your treasure. Yes, money is an issue. But there's also your time. And there's also your talents. Whatever you give from these three areas, God says goes on ahead. And you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Look, when you tithe, you can't outgive God. There'll be some let me take this to you the other direction. Ready? When we get to heaven, because of verse 19, if you sit down and meditate on that, there'll be some Christians, when they get to heaven, praise God, they're saved. They're saved by the blood. They trusted Jesus. But guess what? They won't have anything when they get to heaven. They laid up nothing. So no, you can't buy your way to heaven. Salvation's free, right? It's by the blood of the Lamb. But everything you do for God, when you help out around the church, when you serve, when you go soul winning, whatever you give, there's many men in our church. They'll say, hey, I have a knack for that, or that's my niche, or that's my touch. Can I do that? That they're giving up their talents. Whatever you give is laid up in store in heaven. God says that many times. Teach the people. Well, why do I want, you know, we used to use the teenagers and in the Christian school, and people would say, oh, when you have a Christian school in the church, they're just the church slaves, you know. Then the teenagers do everything around the church. And one of the teenagers started saying, yeah, that's all we are around here, slave labor. Now, I was a teacher in the school, and I looked at him, and I said, that attitude will get you out of church as soon as you graduate. I said, and I told him, I said, shame on you. I said, that's a nasty attitude. I said, did you forget there's a heaven? Did you forget you're serving God? Did you forget everything you do for God? God, nobody outgives God. God says, I will owe you nothing. I'll pay you back for everything you do. Everything. He said, well, I had to get up early to go to men's prayer breakfast. If that was a sacrifice for you, God will. Everything you do for God, God pays you back. And you lay up store in heaven. Amen? Now, now that I've hit the attitude and you know what I'm supposed to teach you as a pastor, now let's look at the issue of tithing. Okay? And watch this. Could you explain this to somebody else? Because see, here's what's on the internet. Go to Luke 6:38. Go to Luke 6:38. Next week, we're going to look at giving in itself. And you say, preacher, how much can you teach on, Luke 6:38, how much can you teach on money in the Bible? Did you know one out of every five verses in the Bible is on possessions and money? If I preached proportionately what's in the Bible on money and giving and possessions and the proper use of them, one out of every five sermons would be on money. I don't preach that much on money. I should. But if I'm guilty of anything, I don't preach enough on money. There's so much in the Bible about it. It's a huge subject. Watch this. Luke 6:38. Here's a principle. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's supposed to be one of the promises of God. Whatever you give, God gives back. Amen? That's supposed to be understood in the Christian life. It's supposed to be one of the things. Look, none of us have 10% of our income laying around. And look, everybody gives by faith, right? You give 10%, you obey by faith. You know what? God loves a cheerful giver. You know what your cheer is supposed to come from? I put 10% of my income this week in the offering plate. Luke 6:38 says, if I give, God will give back to me. This is great. I'm just excited to see how it works out. Because you can't outgive God. Can I tell you this? Since my wife and I have been married, since I've been saved, we've tithed. When somebody takes us out to eat, we tithe on how much they spent on taking us out to eat. We give that. We tithe on everything. Can I tell you this? The Lord's given us three vans. for our family. The Lord has provided in amazing ways, miracle ways. I could testify, and watch this, I'm not the only one in our church that could do that. I've tithed since I've been saved, and I've never outgiven God. God, watch this, I definitely ain't gone hungry. Amen? I ain't starved. I've only missed a meal because I wanted to fast, not because I had to. Amen? Now, if you understand that, here's what I'd like you to understand about tithing. What does the word tithe mean? It means tenth, right? Tenth. The internet and YouTube is the scourge of the Bible. There's good things out there, and we all know there's good preaching on the internet, but there is stuff that will mess you up. Here's one of them. Don't look it up unless you know who you're getting into. Even John R. Rice was off on tithing. J. Vernon McGee, he's a good Bible teacher, but when it came to tithing, they were evangelists. They weren't pastors. Amen? They did not understand the local church. They're dead. They're in heaven. They know I'm right. They're up in heaven looking down right now going, he's right. Listen to him. Amen? No. Here was the teaching. Here was the teaching, and here's what's on the internet, and I'm going to show you why it's wrong. Tithing is first mentioned in Genesis 14:20 when Abraham tithes. He gives tithes of all to Melchizedek, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. We'll get into that, but he gives tithes to Jesus in the 14th chapter of your Bible. Jacob is the next one to give tithes in Genesis 28:22. Then 500 years goes by till we hear of tithing again. They're tithing, but this is how God mentions it in the Bible. 500 years goes by. The people of Israel go down and God multiplies them in slavery in Egypt. Moses comes along and the law is given. And in Leviticus 27:30-32, the tithe is made, thou shalt tithe all of thine increase. And it's given as a, you will do this because it's holy unto the Lord and it belongs to me. And God explains here. Then, watch now, 1,100 years go by and you got the Joshua and the judges and the kings. Then Israel goes into captivity. They come out of captivity and you have Malachi chapter 3. Then 400 years goes by, silent years, and the cross happens. Jesus comes and he dies for our sins. Jesus mentions tithing in Matthew 23:23, Luke 11:42, Luke 18:10-13, and I'll show you 1 Corinthians here in just a second. Listen closely. People say nowadays, and the teaching all over the internet is this, the tithe was under the law of Moses, but since Jesus died on the cross, we don't have to tithe anymore. Tithing was before the law. What do you mean they only tithed under the Ten Commandments? You're nuts. You're looking, I'm not you, let me preach for a minute, okay? You're looking for an excuse not to tithe. And when they pull that out of the air, they're saying, no, we don't tithe because that was only part of the law and since Jesus died. To understand this, let's go to two verses, ready? Go to Malachi, the book right before Matthew, Malachi chapter 3. Look, before we would teach tithing, and here was the basis of the tithe. Here was the basis. We'd say, you need to tithe so God can bless your money. Okay? And we left it at that. Now we've got all this garbage on the internet and the junk to filter through and the error that people are being taught. And so I'm going to hit it from that angle, but I'm also going to show, can you show people you lead to the Lord and people you invite to church? Now, I don't suggest you make it your first Bible study with them, okay? But guess what? When they ask about money, like, okay, the Catholics in this area, I've been told, and I'm glad I have, by several sources, when they want to do a building program at the Catholic churches here, the priests take the membership roll, and they go to each person, and they say, this is how much the expansion of the buildings cost, this is how much your family will pay. Sign here. That's how they do it here. Baptists don't do it that way. We've always worked off. Look, whether you tithe, that's between you and God. I can show you what the Bible says, but nobody makes you do anything. That's between you and God. And heaven forbid, I could not imagine going to somebody's house We had one lady, she came here, I got to lead her to the Lord, but she said, I quit going to the Catholic Church because I'd missed for 6 months, and right when I walked in the door, the priest held a thing to me and said, you haven't been here for 6 months, this is how much you owe him, back tithe. I couldn't imagine treating people that way. If you choose not to tithe, that's between you and God, and if you want to deal with that, you can ask my counsel, you can ask my help, you can ask my opinion, but, I mean, heaven forbid, I cannot imagine. The tithe is something you voluntarily give. Look at Malachi chapter 3. It ought to be marked in your Bible. And watch this. Verse number 7. Malachi 3:7. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, or the people said, wherein shall we return? How do we get back to God when we've backslid? That's what they're asking. How do we get back to God? How do we return? Look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God answers back in tithes and offerings. The key word there is rob. I'm not talking Robert. Stealing is, you've heard me say this before, let me just go to it. The key word is rob. God says, you didn't steal from me. If you steal, you snuck up behind somebody or you snuck into their house when they weren't there and they didn't know and you took something and you stole it and you left. But if you rob something, ask any police officer, a robbery always involves an instrument of force, a stick, a knife, a gun. It means you threaten, if you get robbed, somebody said, you either give me your money or I'm going to harm you in a bodily, physical fashion. And God says, that's why you're cursed, because when you keep back 10% of what God gives you, God says, you didn't steal from me, you robbed me. You threatened me with physical harm if I did not give you what was mine, and nobody threatens me. That's why verse number 9. Bring ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. The word storehouse has always been the house of the Lord. Let's close this with 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Okay? 1 Corinthians 16. This will be the last scripture we look at, but you need to understand it. People say, well, tithing isn't in the New Testament. Notice the word store. And watch this. If somebody chooses not to tithe, 1 Corinthians 16, if somebody chooses not to tithe, yes, their finances become cursed. Somebody said, well, I don't have enough money to tithe. I reverse that statement. I know what it's like to live in poverty. I've been on food stamps before as an assistant pastor. I've made poverty level wages. And watch this. I've never made enough money not to tithe. If my money is short, I need God's blessing on the little amount of money I have. Amen? When we were getting food stamps, we tithed off of the food stamps. $600 a month for our family of seven. Amen? We've tithed on everything because I needed God. So, well, I don't make enough money to tithe. I don't make enough money not to tithe. Amen? I need God's help. Amen? So watch this. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Look at verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, that's when we pass the plate. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Watch this, verse number 2. Upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store. There's that word store. That means it goes to the house of God. It doesn't go to a radio station. It doesn't go to an internet service. It doesn't go to a Red Cross, a non-charitable organization. It goes to the store or the storehouse, which is the house of God. Notice this, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. When we pass the plate, whatever God gave you this week or this month or the last 2 weeks, you take 10% of that and you give it in store, and that's why you put the tithe in the offering plate, as God has prospered you. What I love is this. I love the percentage giving. Do you understand? God didn't say, for you to be right with me and not be cursed in your finances, you have to give $100 a week. God never gave an amount. He gave a percent. That applies to everybody. That means if you made $10 last week, you owe God a buck. Amen? If you made $100 a week, you owe God 10 bucks. If you made $500 a week, what do we call that? 50? No, that's a miracle. I'm joking right now, but I'm just telling you, you tithe because that's what God says to do. Amen? Let me close with this. I taught this lesson in Tennessee in a new Christians class. We went through a lot more scripture than I went through with you this morning. I hit it from you like you've heard it before this morning. A couple came up to me. They'd been in church 42 years, raised their kids in church. The kids were married. They had just moved to the church. I went from Genesis to Revelation on tithing. Back then, Sunday school was a full hour. They both came up to me and said, "We've tithed for 42 years because the pastor said tithe. This is the first church we've ever been to where somebody took us through the Bible." She had tears coming down her face. She said, "I didn't know all that was in the Bible." I said, "Wow, you've been in church 42 years. How do you do that?" "That's because the pastors aren't teaching it. There are some that do, praise God. But it's not a dime a dozen type sermon." Amen. I hope this is a help to you. I want it to strengthen you as a child of God.